as you lift our voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Heavenly Father, your word is already anointed. Anoint these lips of clay, ordain power in my mouth. By the teaching of your word, Lord, let power be made available for everyone here, Lord. We pray that doors shall be open, miracles of healing, deliverance shall happen, provision, wonderful testimonies and manifestations of your power. Lord, you are in our midst already, so glorify yourself and let your name alone be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Clap your two hands and say an amen. Oh, let me hear your loudest amen if you are here. God bless you. Now, on Sunday, we started a journey that we are going to continue and then enter into prayer. This is our power anointing service where we trust God for breakthroughs and for miracles as we pray to the Lord. Scripture says that to him that heareth prayer, all flesh gather. So because God hears prayer, that is why we pray. We pray because he hears. He's not like the others that have been given ears by men yet cannot hear. Our God hears prayer, and that is why we gather each service day, each week, to pray and to call upon him. Can I hear your amen? So, we were looking at a foundational truth on divine health and healing. And I hope you were blessed on Sunday. And we are going to build on it. And tonight we are going to do more of prayer, since it's a prayer service. So we'll not talk much, but we'll do more of prayer. And then we will continue the journey, God willing, on Sunday, where we do more of teaching. So let's go quickly. We explain from 3 John 1:2 that, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So we understand that God wants us to be in good health, soundness, and well-being, sound health and well-being. That is what God wants for us. And we said divine health is health that is of God, or well-being that is from God, or sound health that is like what God himself has, so that we will be strong, we'll be healthy, we'll be sound in our bodies. Then we explained that divine healing is the removal of sickness and the restoration of health by the power of God. Where sickness is removed by the power of God, or where health is restored by the power of God. Hallelujah. And we looked at some foundational truth, because we explained that in this kingdom, knowledge is power. And it is what you know that determines what you can hold or what you can receive. In this kingdom, you don't get things you hardly know about. Bible says that for you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now, we looked at the foundational truth. We said, number one, divine health is the original state of mankind. That Genesis 2:7 makes us understand that God breathed his breath into us, which is the source of our life, which is the source of our divine life. And in it is the divine health, because God cannot be sick, and we also from God cannot be sick. So that was our original state. Then we said, number two, sin is the root of all sicknesses in the world. Before sin came into the system, there was nothing like sickness. So our original state was health, divine health from God. We could not be sick. It was impossible until sin came. And when sin came, then sickness and death also entered. And we looked at that in Genesis 2:17, Genesis 3:6, and 23 and 24. And we looked at Genesis, So we look at those. And then with number three, Jesus saved us from the power of sickness. That Jesus saved us. What sin brought upon us, Jesus delivered us through his death on the cross and his resurrection power. So Jesus saved us from the power of sickness. 1 Peter 2:24. That Jesus is not only our savior because he saved us from the power of sin. He also saved us from the power of sickness, because sickness entered because of sin. So once the root cause of sickness, which is sin, is arrested by the cross, so also is the fruit, which is sickness, also destroyed. Do you understand? Beautiful. So Jesus is not just a savior, but a healer. Number four, we said there is a spirit behind every sickness. There's a spirit behind every sickness. That sickness is a spirit by itself. It's a spirit itself. Yeah. And we explain that because when Jesus entered into the temple in Luke 13 verse 11, Bible says that there was someone there who was sick or who was suffering from the spirit of infirmity, out of which Jesus cast out 18 years. And Jesus cast out the spirit of infirmity. And infirmity there is disease. And they call it the spirit of disease. That means that the disease has a spirit supporting it and backing it. So tonight, every spirit backing that illness in your life lives in the name of Jesus. Let your amen be a believer's one. And so Jesus went into Peter's mother's house, Peter's mother-in-law's house. She was sick of fever. And Jesus didn't administer any form of medicine. But Jesus cast out the spirit of fever. And the woman was healed immediately, instantly. Hallelujah. So I declare that without any administration or administering of medicine, every spirit afflicting you lives now. I said every spirit troubling your mind lives now. Every spirit troubling your heart lives now. Every spirit troubling your body lives now. Shout your loudest amen. And shout, I am free forever. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Then we also said divine health is God's will for our lives. It's God's plan for our lives. 3 John 1:2 says, I wish above all things. As a redeemed child of God, it is God's plan for your life not to be sick, but to be in good health. Not to just have money, not to just be righteous, but to be a healthy child of God. Not a sick child of God. Running from hospital to hospital. Consulting doctors upon doctors and physicians. Like that woman for 12 years. When Jesus saw the other woman in Luke 13, Jesus said, is this not a daughter of Abraham? In other words, in today's time, we say, is this not a child of God? Why should she be bound by the spirit of infirmity? So it is wrong for children of God to be sick. Tell somebody by you, it is wrong to be sick. Don't entertain it. Don't accept it. You must change your mindset. It is wrong to be sick. And yet, it is wrong for you to be sick. You must be healthy, because once you are sick, you cannot serve the purpose of God. Once you are sick, the devil has a few days. You can't serve the purpose of God, because the spirit of the Lord is working in this, your body. So your body must be okay. If your body is not sound, the spirit of God cannot have enough expression through you. It's time for evangelism. How will you go if you are bedridden? The Lord has blessed you with spiritual gifts and with all kinds of gifts to serve in the church. How will you be able to do if you are bedridden? If you are sick, you cannot be able to. So sickness is never God's desire for us. It is God's will. That is why that leper who asked Jesus that, if you are willing, make me whole. Jesus stretched forth his hands and touched him and said, I am willing, be made clean, be made whole. So tonight, Jesus is not just able to heal, he's also willing to heal. Hallelujah. Then number six, we said divine health is the perfect will of God, whereas divine healing is his permissive will. That to be in health and not fall sick at all is greater than to fall sick and now be healed. Because sometimes we only celebrate our healing, but we don't celebrate our health. That the whole year you never felt sick. You never came to say thank you, Jesus. But you felt sick and came from the hospital. You rush here to thank God that you are healed. But it is a greater miracle never to fall sick and be in health than it is to fall sick and be healed. Hallelujah. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So God's plan for our lives in Romans 12 2 tells us that the perfect, God has a perfect will, and healing is God's perfect will. Number seven, sickness is not from God. It's not a punishment or a test from God. Understand that it is not that you have sinned against God and God inflicts you with sickness. That God puts sickness on you. God doesn't do that. Bible says that his plans for us are only good, perfect and good. To give us a hope and a future. So if sickness is not a good thing, as we discussed on Sunday, then it cannot be part of God's training for our lives. That God is training me. He's training me how to manage sickness. God is training you with sickness. Please. God doesn't train people with sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sick. You see, understand? And people used to justify that with the story of Job. That's why I explained to you that. Go and read the story of Job very well. It was the devil's plan, not God. It was not God that told the devil that go and put sickness on him. No. At all. It was the devil that decided to put sickness on Job. It was not God's intention. So God did not tempt Job. It was the devil that tempted Job. But God doesn't tempt people. That is why James 1:13 tells us that let no man say when he's tempted that I'm tempted of God. Never. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man with evil. So if the devil attacks you, deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? Upon somebody, you are too. So I mean, cast a mean also wash. No, no, no. It's the devil. Deal with that devil, and you are going to be free. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Number eight. Divine healing or healing is the bread of the children of God. Understand, I'm only giving you foundations. I'm reconstructing your mind. Healing is the bread for God's children. When we say bread, that means provision. Tell somebody about you. Healing is part of God's provision for you. In Matthew 15, verse 26. Matthew 15, verse 26. You realize that Jesus was confronted by a woman. Or a woman approached Jesus whose daughter was dying because of sickness and affliction. And then she was a Canaanite. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't part of God's children by then. And so Jesus told her that, woman, I cannot give the bread of the children to dogs. What does that mean? That simply means that I cannot give a provision that is set aside for God's children to somebody else's children, Satan's children, their unbelievers. So you realize that originally, divine healing or healing in God is an exclusive reserve of his children. If not for a reason, which I will share with you soon. Healing is supposed to only be for, like, the fact that we are well and we get well is supposed to be for only God's children. If not for a reason I'm about to tell you. Because Jesus called it the bread. The bread is just a symbol to represent what provision. When Jesus said, pray that give us this day our daily bread, he wasn't talking about tea and Milo and bread. When Jesus said, man must not live by bread alone, he wasn't restricting you to bread so that you add except within chefwa. Oh, you have not heard that one. I heard that one from someone. That even Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Add in chefwa to it. So people can explain the scriptures and interpret it in a very wonderful way. When Jesus referred to bread, he was talking about food in general or provision in general. That man does not survive only on food and provisions, but man also survives on the word of God. That once God has spoken, we can survive. We will not be destroyed. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter the provision that is not available. As long as you are holding on to the word of God, he will see you to the end of the year. You didn't hear what I said. Clap. You didn't hear what I said. I said, it doesn't matter. Sometimes you are about to do something and there is no provision for the thing. But what you need is not a provision. What you need is the word of God that told you go and do it. That's all. That's all. I venture into things that are bigger than me only when I have the word of God. When I can say with audacity that God said I should come. That God said I should do it. With that one, I don't look at bank account. I look at God's word. Because God's word makes all things. And the Bible says that, for by faith we know and we believe that all things were made by his word. All things are upheld by his word. So, his word is enough. Tell somebody, his word is enough for your survival. Tell him, lack will not finish you. Tell him, lack will not limit you. Your destiny will know no bounds. Your ministry will know no bounds. For you are anchored on the word of God. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. That's why you make sure you have a hold of the word. For anything you do, make sure that you have a word of God that you are holding on to. Not the promise of your father. Or some money in your bank account. That's why I told the disciples, carry no purse. In other words, don't focus on your own money. But the laborer is worthy of his wages. Hallelujah. And so, when Jesus told the woman that I can't give the bread, he was referring to something more than literal bread. Something more than that. He was talking about general provision. So, it means that as part of the provision that God, and you see, as part of provision that God has given us, includes healing. Do you get it? So, the way you ask God, this is our daily bread. If there is sickness in your life, you can also ask God for his healing. It's part of bread. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's part of the bread. So as you are seated, you are listening to me, and there is some pain in your body, there is some sickness in your body, you have every right to say, Father, give me this day my healing. It's your daily bread. It's your daily bread. But unfortunately, you don't know it. And what you don't know, you cannot hold. What you don't know, you cannot take. Nobody goes to a counter and doesn't know something and then buys it. It's what you are able to see that you analyze, that you begin to appreciate, that you will pick. Now, if you don't even know that there is something in your will, in your father's will for you, you don't even demand it. Because you don't know. And you see, it made me realize that healing is actually not a great miracle. Ooh. It made me realize. God compared it. Jesus compared it to bread. Or it has not occurred to you that bread is actually a basic necessity. Like, among food, bread is one of the cheapest. Like, among food. Let's classify food. Bread. How much do you buy bread now? 5 cedis. It can't buy you a plate of rice. Bag of rice. Bread. You are even talking about loaf of bread. Jesus said bread. Bread can be sliced. So some of you up to today, you still buy a sliced bread. Still, you chop 5 cedis, man. Even this morning, I got a sliced bread for my daughter. Sliced. So you can still get a sliced bread. as cheap as one city, two cities, you can still get. So if Jesus compared a dying girl on a bed, her healing, to bread, then he, then I can say, no, that is that healing is not healing, it's not miracle.
Great miracle to Jesus.
According to Jesus. What he means is that, is one of the commonest things. And who withholds a common thing from his children? Nobody. At least if your father will keep something away from you, it should be the treasures. But did you get what I'm saying? One of them teaching, I'm leading you somewhere. Did you begin? Don't hide. That's why Jesus told somebody that. Which one is more difficult? To say that your sin is forgiven, or to say rise up and walk? Which one is more difficult? Which one is more difficult? There are, you see, the miracle of forgiving the sin of someone is more difficult than to say that rise up and walk. I get it. To Jesus, healing is just a common thing. And I pray that may healing and divine health be a common thing in your life. Let your amen be the loudest. I said, may healing and divine health be a common thing in your life. Maybe building may not be a common thing in your life. Maybe some other miracles may not be common. But at least Jesus mentioned that as for healing, dear, it is like bread. So I declare you will never lack health. You will never lack healing. Wherever you are in need of healing, your healing appears right now. Your healing appears right now. Your healing appears right now. Clap your two and say, I take my healing right now. So come on, your father can afford it. So come on. Hallelujah. You read all the way to 28, okay? Matthew 15, 26 to you. So divine health and healing is a covenant provision for us. Now, one of the things you have to understand as divine health being provision for us, it's also a covenant. It's also a covenant. In Exodus 23, 25, he said, you shall serve the Lord. Because you are serving God, he will take sickness out of your midst. Because you are serving God. In other words, because you are serving God, sickness loses grounds in your life. In other words, because you are serving God, sickness has no permit over you or authority over you. So when you wake up and you see that you are sick in the place, have that understanding, that foundational understanding that this sickness in my body has no permit to stay here. That means I can ask it to go and it will go. It takes an understanding of it, a deeper, like accepting it and believing it. Because it's a covenant. Exodus 15, 26. Look at what he said. He said, I will not put, I just love the scriptures. God, I will not put the sicknesses. He said, and if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandment and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals you. It's a covenant. So, children of God, you get it as bread. But there's another dimension that you get it more. And that is what we call the covenant dimension. That because I'm a shepherd, you that sick and disappear. We've shared several testimonies of that. Anytime I'm praying for healing for somebody who is a worker in the church, it's the easiest miracles I see. Because I don't stress. I just quote, you shall serve the Lord. You shall take sickness out. Get lost. That's all. Some of them is just a text message I send. That you serve God, so you are healed. You cannot, sickness cannot stay in your body. That's all. It settles it. So I stretch forth my hands in the name of Jesus. Anybody that serves God here as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a leader, as an instrumentalist in any department in the church, anybody that works here, I command, you are healed. You are healed. Healed of that head problem. Healed of that eye problem. Healed of that chest pain. Healed of that stomach pain. Wherever you are sick, you are healed. Clap your two hands and say, I receive my healing. Of what?
Service.
So next time you wake up and you are shaking, what do you say? You fever, you have no permit in my body. Gets lost. You say it with faith. You believe it. And it will work for you. Clap your two hands for you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 107, verse 20. I will not read it. Number 9. Divine healing is a sign to the unbelieving world. It's a sign. Now, that's what I wanted to say to balance the previous point I made. When I told you that divine healing is an exclusive reserve of the child of God. How many of you remember? Now, if you are very intelligent, you should quickly ask. So what about the unbelievers that we see in multiple figures getting healed? That sometimes it even looks like they get more healed than the believers, which is very true. I'm a crusader, so I know that. As an evangelist, I see more of healings out there than even among God's children. Because God's children mostly are healthy by the grace of God, unless they don't believe. But now, one of the reasons why unbelievers also, even though it is our provision, they also have they are also partakers of it, is because of this foundational truth you must understand. It's a fundamental truth. The fact that healings to us is our food, but to them it's a sign. To us it's not a sign. That's not what makes us believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus because he healed you? No. You're already a believer. Your faith for following Jesus is not because your leg was healed. But there are places we go to where your Bible is nothing to them. You quote your Bible, they quote their own book. You only end up doing quote and I quote. The only thing that will bring real faith is when you call. That, do you have any blind person here? Do you have any deaf and dumb here? Bring me the deaf and dumb. Bring me the blind. And then you pray for them. And then, bam, your Jesus is able to heal them just as he was healing people in the Bible. And their leader cannot heal. And their leader cannot do all those things. Then it becomes a sign to them that indeed the same Jesus who was yesterday is the same today. And as he was alive then, he's not dead. He's still alive. Because if he's alive, he should do what he was doing when he was alive. So if he's alive, he should be able to heal. He should be able to raise the dead. So when we do that on a crusade platform or in the sight or in the viewing of the unbelievers, what we are doing is that we are giving them a sign, a sign, a sign, a sign, a sign. That is why God always rises up to the occasion. If a young evangelist like myself will step out there and just call the name of Jesus, and then we'll request with audacity that bring any deaf and dumb person forward. Anytime I do that, in those days, I had some people following me who were not church members because we are crusading. And one of them confessed that, Pastor, anytime, or is it the first day I followed you and I heard you call that they should bring deaf and dumb, all I said as I was playing the keyboard, all I said was that Aquana sir, sorry. Yeah, he confessed, because after every crusade, after every night, we have a meeting. When we go for our supper, we discuss, then we do evaluation. What happened today? Then people will be complaining. The technical people, they didn't do their work well. Those who went to town to bring the people, they didn't come early. Then everybody will. So this new guy called Nathaniel, he plays keyboard. When he's a bit matured, and he's been playing for big men, big people. He plays for East Tools and Co. Big people. And he told me, he said, I followed big men for programs. And I know how these things are. When you called, you see, you did a great preaching, great teaching, praises and worship. Everything was nice. But when I heard you say that they should bring deaf and dumb,
Then I said, sorry.
Because how are you going to cure deaf and dumb on camera in the sight of the people? And they are bringing a deaf and dumb, they know. Not the one you have staged. At least when we're coming, Pastor, you didn't put any deaf and dumb in the bus. You should have arranged. What we know are that other prophets are arranging in their churches. This one is not your church. You have come to a strange place. You don't know anybody. And you are taking that risk. Others who do that are staged. You know, you have just come. We came together. We came with you. The guy confessed. And he's not the only person who has ever confessed. But he said, I was amazed. I was amazed that 55 years old deaf and dumb man could speak for his 80-year-old mother to be jumping and dancing on the stage. 80-year-old mother was dancing and saying that my son is 55 years, can't speak, cannot hear. And after you prayed, he can now speak and hear. 55 years with his mother, 80 years. He was shocked. Now, that is how we got people like Akizo and those people stayed. That was their first time they followed me for crusade. They all said they've changed. They will have to. They started saying, I wasn't paying them. Where they play, they pay them. They all instrumentally started coming to my church from that crusade. Now, an 80-year-old woman knows his son. True or not true? Now, on that first night, we struggled to gather people. We struggled. We went with the buses and they were giving us attitude. They don't know us and all that. And the picture of the man of God is not popular. So they were giving us attitude. Our people had to use a lot of anakazo to bring the people. But after that night, the second night, the number tripled. And my evangelist said, by the time the bus will get to a village, the people had already gathered, waiting. Because they have heard the man was popular. And they have heard that that man has been healed. And 55 years, everybody knows him in the area. And the man could now speak, could now say sounds, could now talk. And everybody knew they were dancing on the stage. That one opened the crusade. When I make altar call, people are rushing forward. Clap your two hands for them. So now, that is where healing becomes a sign to the world. Because at that place, my gospel will not hold any water. Because they have their own beliefs in white cross. They are white cross worshippers who are worshipping the Awoyo kind of people. So they don't believe any other thing that you are coming to do. Once you are not coming with some bell to come and ring something and bring water, you are wasting your time in that area. Talking about Kumfie Safa. Terrible. And we recorded miracles upon miracles, and more people kept coming and kept coming. The whole crusade was a success. In fact, one of the days, the crowd was so much, that was the day our generator failed us. Those of you who were with me, you can remember, our lights went off. And I took megaphone and I was preaching to thousands with megaphone. And I was amazed. Instead of the crusade getting spoiled like the devil planned, with the huge numbers that I've heard of miracles and are coming, even with the megaphone, cripples were walking with their sticks lifted. With megaphone, we have pictures of all these things. Amazing. Now that is where Elder Ignatius comes from. That's how come Elder Ignatius came to Accra and saw my banner at Olebu. He went to look for me. Because he was one of the Methodist church people who helped us in the town. So he knew me. He knew what the crusade was about. So when I went for his wedding, some of the pastors came and they were still asking, when will you come back? We have waited. When we're here, they were still calling us. Some of them were coming. When they come to Accra, they come to our church in the classroom. I'm telling you what miracles can do. Bible says that Jesus Christ, who was approved, a man approved of God, that means a man endorsed by God with miracles, signs and wonders. So miracles bring endorsement. Miracles is a sign that God is with you. Are you guys what I'm saying? Clap your two hands for the Lord. Now let me give you a scripture to explain that. In case you say I'm preaching my experience. Healings are signs to the unbelieving world. Mark 16:17. Mark 16:17-18. What did Jesus tell them? Jesus told them signs that will follow them. I don't have to struggle. This one must follow me. Because I'm an evangelist. I'm a witness. I'm testifying about Jesus. One go. Everybody read with me. One go. And these signs. These what? Oh, come on. Talk to me. These. That means the things you're about to read. They are signs. They are point. A sign is something that is pointing to a reality. Signs. Symptoms. They point to an existence of a reality. So when a woman starts seeing certain signs, they say, there's a baby we can't see, but it's there. Because the signs are showing that a reality is there. So these are signs that you are a child of God. That you are on missions. That God has sent you. Read the signs. And these signs
will follow those who follow those who. Is it those who preach? Those who are the believer of Jesus.
Then this sign, if these signs are not following you, you are not confirmed. Pastor, why are you saying that? Yes, I'm saying that I'm reading the Bible. These signs must follow you. Listen, you don't need to be an evangelist to have it. You don't need to go to pastoral school to have these signs. The people that work with me, they mostly tell me. Because I don't, those I've said like the pastor calls and they always tell me, they go to people's houses and they go and maybe look for a soul. And because now they are pastors, they have to pray for people. And they are not, known, at least for me, I would say I heard something spectacular that God was going to use me in a certain dimension. But for them, they have not heard anything like that. They are just witnesses of the gospel. And they just believe in Jesus. And yet, I've heard them say countless times how they prayed for somebody and bam, the person was you. And they themselves were surprised. When we go for those crusades, it's so nice. But we go. At certain time, we go with 100 people. It's not something small. 100 people. That's why our crusades are expensive. So we don't easily go rough when we don't have money. Because when we are going, we don't go with 20 people. We go with 100 people. And I've decided to change that thing. Because that's what is beginning to slow me. Because I have to look for a lot of money to do that. So I've decided I'll go like the other evangelists. Just have my key team. 10. Let's go. But we go with about 100 people. And we have those who are in kitchen. Those who are technical, those who are choir, those who are ushers, those who are this. Then we have those who are evangelists, those who are... Everybody has his work. And then when they go to town like that, because they are carrying the flyers and they are inviting people, they go and meet people who are sick. Then they pray for them. They preach the gospel, they pray for people. Then they come back with testimony that I prayed for a certain woman. And so some of them even take pictures with the people. Some of them take video clips with the people. And when they come for the meetings after the crusade, they start sharing it. And we are so excited. They are not the main evangelists. But you see, God is showing the signs. So tell them, you must be a miracle worker. At least, if not to a church, you must be a miracle to your family. You must be a miracle worker to the friends around you. When they have a need, they should be able to come to you. And know that if COVID prays for me, something will happen. If Amma prays for me, something will happen. Your mother should believe in your prayer. Your father should believe in your prayer. Your brother should believe in your prayer. Can I hear an amen? Now let's read the signs that must follow who? You. Say me. Signs that must follow you. One go. In my name, they will cast out demons. Have you been casting out demons? You see that you are living under your less of God's expectation for you. Because you have left deliverance for us. You have left it for the clerical people. For the clergy. You have never tried to cast out a spirit from your own family member before. Have you tried it before, Hannah? Miriam, have you tried it before? To lay hands on your mother, lay hands on your sister when they are complaining of something and cast out the spirit. Is that in my name? They will. These are for what? Believers. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Do you speak with tongues? Do you speak in the Holy Ghost? That one, yes. Before you start speaking in the Holy Ghost, you should be casting devils. It's part. Why have you skipped number one? You are doing number two. You are afraid. The demon will nanti nanti on your feet. It's because you are afraid. That's why. Go on. They will take up serpents. They will take up serpents. They will take up serpents. Should I explain that? Or should you leave it like that? Have you ever challenged a slave before? They will take up serpents. That means that there are times that somewhere, somehow, you may come in contact with dangerous creatures, dangerous animals. Not because you foolishly went to go and present yourself, but it so happened, like Paul mistakenly put his hand in a stick, and one of the things over there that I thought was stick, one was a snake, a viper, and the viper jumped and entangled Paul's hands and bit Paul. And everybody standing there was watching Paul to fall down and die because the poison was rising. And Bible says that, and Paul shook it off into the fire. And the people waited and waited and waited when Paul was still walking about. And then they changed their mind and said, this guy is not a human being, he's a God. They started calling Paul God on that town, on that land. They started calling. Now, that's the scripture. I didn't say go and look for a snake and foolishly put your hands there. Let me test my... my sonship. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying that if in case some way, somehow, you have an encounter with a snake, in the name of Jesus, you can be delivered from them. If a demon attacks you, you can be delivered from them. If a wild animal attacks you, in the name of Jesus, you can be delivered from them. And if they drink anything deadly, the same meaning. If it happens that you drink something deadly that you are not even aware of, that thing can be... Let me look for a word. The thing is deadly. You can unpick it. You can deadlize it. If there is any word like that, you would deadlize it. It cannot kill you. Say, it cannot kill me. Because God is with you. You see, it's a level you should understand. If they say, hey, do you know what you have drunk? You tell them that what I drank is water. They say, no, it's poison. I say, it's water. I'm telling you a true life story of someone. They say, what you just took is poison. He said, no, I took water. He never died. But if he had accepted it is poison, he would have died. This scripture works for those who believe. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Sometimes you can go and buy some food and say, hey, so this food, you fall sick. You say, never, I cannot fall sick. It's a level. Why? Because this scripture is boiling up in your spirit. That even if I eat something that is dangerous, the Lord can neutralize it. It's one of the signs that follows me, that shows that he's with me, that I'm a child of God. And you see, sickness, and then they will lay hands on the sick. And they will, oh, talk to me. They will, when they lay hands on the sick, what will happen? The sick will be healed. So if, since you became born again till today, you have never laid hands on the sick before, for them to be healed, then there's a problem with your born again. You lack foundational truth. Lack it. Are you following what I'm saying? Lack it. So it's a sign, okay? He said, these signs will follow you. And one of it is that you will heal the sick and they shall be healed. You lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And the people said, they were like, wow, where are you coming from? He said, oh, these that I did is not in my power, like Peter would say. But in the name of Jesus Christ. Then right there, you start preaching, you start witnessing. Because what you did is a sign. That's what opened doors for the apostles. They go to places they were not accepted. Wrought one miracle. Pam! The whole town gather. It's a sign. So unbelievers too can be healed. Do you get it? But it's for a sign. And then finally, for the truth. Divine health is three-dimensional. Divine health is three-dimensional. 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. So you prosper physically, you will be in health, and your soul too will do well. That is what emotionally or spiritually. Now, you need to experience health and healing in three dimensions. Write it down. Everybody here, you must experience health in three dimensions. Some of you, as we are saying, I'll be healed. You say, oh, me, I'm not sick. But you may be sick in a different way. In a different dimension of your life. Ebia ohunam die o ahonding is ebia honhum no yare. Ebia emotionally no o yare. Three dimensions. So that leads us to the three areas that Satan attacks with sickness. Three areas Satan attacks with sickness. One, sickness of the spirit. So you need healing in that place. Because Satan can attack your spirit. One of the ways Satan attacks your spirit is with sorrow. When you are sorrowful, Proverbs 15:13, then your spirit will be sick. He said, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. So sorrow can break your spirit. You can be sick spiritually by sorrow. Why would I say, oh, you're yeah, not the malaria now? Because, oh, that'll be. But, oh, shut down, say, Bibi Hana. It's spiritually. Sin is also what makes the spirit sick. Sin makes the spirit sick. Udi Bonia, whom to me, a yare. Who was it? Your mom, Mike, Crasse, Brabea, sorry, Brabe, to no Brabe, Bibi Manamia, umpe. Because, whom cough from? Because, Udi Boni. Spiritually, you can see that you are not okay. You look like you are sick. But when they ask you, is it malaria? It's nothing. But the thing is, you have started fornicating. You have started sinning. You have started doing something. So you have become dull. I said, why a bus? I said, why a dull? Because if you are secretly, you are watching pornography. You are doing something. So sin can make you sick. Psalm 32, verse 1 to 4. In the verse 3, I'll jump. Okay, verse 1 says, the blessed is the one whose sin has been forgiven, whose sin is covered. A sick spirit cannot sustain the body. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Then verse 3. When I kept silent, when I covered my sin, when I decided that I will not let anybody know what I have done, then my bones waxed old. That means that I became sick through my roaring all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He said, day and night, God's hand has become so heavy on me because I've sinned and I'm not telling the truth. I'm hiding. You see that? Oba, sorry, I said, baby, how? Because Udi Boni, and your spirit is sick. Anyone here who is sick in the spirit, may you be healed in Jesus' name. I said, may you be healed in Jesus' name. May you be healed in Jesus' name. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart makes good like medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. Yeah. The second place the devil attacks with sickness that you need healing is emotional and mental sickness. Emotional and mental sickness. Example, anxiety. You are always, hey, what will happen? Hey, what will happen to me? Hey, what will happen? Oh, hey, Rade. Hey, what will happen? You are so anxious. Anxiety. Depression. You are so low. You don't know what's wrong with you. You feel like you are sick. You are depressed. What dia ma aboy are ye? What dia depression? bitterness. Emotionally. Sorrow. Unforgiveness. Frustration. Demonic oppression. When there is demonic oppression. When demons are oppressing you. Example, insanity. Once a while, you I say, oh, bottom. Obi e won say as akwa we obodam inso onam ho or as okoba bat unyo me bia wo ye no looks like obodam insanity, mental imbalance, fear are all emotional and mental sicknesses. I stretch forth my hands in the name of Jesus. Anybody that is suffering from any emotional and mental sickness, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And then the final one is physical sickness. That is the one in your body. Example, cancer, diabetes, rheumatism, AIDS, coronavirus, COVID, and all those things. Fever, pneumonia, anything. They are bodily or physical sickness. So the devil attacks these three areas. And so you need healing in these three areas. So when we are praying for healing, you have to pray. Because you may need healing even in your pocket, in your finances, in the work that you are doing. Things are not working. But I pray for you that the Lord will bring you healing. 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 And for you to enjoy these three things, or these foundational truths, for you to be able to walk in them, the foundational action steps for divine health and healing, foundational action steps for your health and healing, what you should do. One, ensure you are born again. No fake things. Ensure you are born again. No fake things. Because it will bring your salvation. It will bring your healing as well. Romans 10 verse 13. If you mention the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Number two, renew your mind with the word of God. That is, change your mind about the things you think about sickness. Today I've taught you a lot. That sickness is not from God. That is a spirit. Don't take it for granted. Don't say it's God punishing you. God teaching you a lesson. God say God is training you. Use this thing to change your mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says that do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind.
So renew your mind.
And enjoy the perfect will of God, which is divine health. Proverbs 23 verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you can think health, you'll be healthy. If you can think health, you'll be healthy. If you can think healing, you'll be healed. But if always you are thinking that, this is my sickness. If that is how you think, then you are going to be sick. But if you start thinking that I'm well, I cannot be sick. This thing cannot stay. You have left me. I'm free indeed. I'm free in Jesus' name. You are a liar. I will not carry this sickness. Even though it killed my father, I will not be a partaker. I will not carry it. I reject it. It is not my portion. God wants me to be well. God wants me to be healed. I will not die before my time. If you can think like that, then whatever you can think, you can take. Because when you go to a shop, you first think before you touch and think. So if you can think it, you can take it. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Matthew 9:20. The woman who was having the issue of the blood for 12 years, flow. She thought in her, if I would touch him, just his garment, I will be healed. And immediately she was made whole. If you can think it, you can take it. Then lastly, ask the Lord in faith for divine health and healing. Ask and you shall receive. Matthew 7:7. It's your bread, it's your provision. So ask. Tonight you are going to ask. Tonight you are going to pray for healing for every aspect of your life. And I'm going to anoint everybody here. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever you desire healing, ask it. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you have it. So if you want to be healed, just pray it. Desire it and pray it. So ask the Lord in faith for your divine health and healing. And then Luke 18:38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Then verse 41, saying, will thou that I shall do unto you? What do you want me to do for you? And then he said, I want to see. And then verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive your sight. If you can ask, you can receive. And when you receive, you are going to be made whole. Do these four action steps. Be born again. Be born again. Change your mind. Ask it. Ask for it. And you are going to receive it. And if you can do these things, God is going to come your way. Clap your two hands together and rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.